Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning if you love Him. Oh, isn't God good to us, church? Isn't God good to you? Well, what a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. We had church here last night, didn't we? Amen. Brother Tim Burdett always just blesses our heart when he comes up here. And I know you're looking forward to what we have this morning. Brother Terry Horn's going to be bringing the word to us today, and got some good singing going to be taking place here just in a little bit. So, well, we're just blessed to be in the house of God today. What a privilege it is. Let's look at our prayer request, if you will. Stand with me just for a few minutes. I want to pray for Sister Judy Davis. She's been up most of the night with pain in her eyes, and she's going to the doctor this morning, so we want to remember that prayer request. I want to pray for Brother Harvey, Sister Shirley Lunsford. Both have the flu, very sick in body, need a touch from the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Lucille Adkins. She's having a lot of problems. I just want to remember her in our prayers. Very weak and coughing. Just pray for Sister Lucille that the Lord would touch our sister this morning. I want to pray for Brother Tracy. He is very sick, unable to be in the service today, so we want to continue to remember Brother Tracy in prayer. Brother Gary Hara wants us to remember their daughter-in-law, Teresa Hara. She is in a coma in the hospital, so we just pray that God would touch her. And we certainly want to pray for our pastor today and Sister Carol and all of her family. The funeral for her nephew is going to be today, I think, at 1 o'clock. Brother Donnie is going to be in charge of that service. And so he just asking that we would certainly remember him. I think about 1 o'clock today that service will begin. So we certainly want to pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that family and give Brother Donnie, just give him a peace and a calm that he'll be all right with what he has to do today. I know that's not going to be easy on him, but we just pray for our pastor, won't we? Amen. An unspoken prayer request. Brother Brad Gilbert sends that in to remember that need. Sister Baron also, a real important unspoken prayer request. We want to remember that this morning as we pray. And little Maria Parker, sick with the flu and a double ear infection. So we certainly want to pray for that need today. Brother Donnie Cox wants us to remember Sister Monica in prayer, not feeling well today. So let's remember that prayer request. Here's several prayer requests. May Manuel, heart surgery tomorrow, Monday, January the 21st. Gary Manuel goes back Friday to the cancer doctor. Pray for complete healing of cancer. Bob Bridges also for cancer. Deborah Milam to get a job, financial situations. Pray that things will get better in her life. And just commit her unto the Lord. God's able to supply that need. And we just commit her to the Lord, all those situations today. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we know that a lot of viruses and flu things are going around right now. So let's just pray for each other that God will protect us by his grace and mercy. Brother Daniel, are you here this morning? If you'd come at this time, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite his presence into this service today. We'll commit all these needs unto the Lord. How many of you know that we're serving a God that's on time? And he's a prayer answering God. Do you believe that with all your heart this morning? Amen. Brother Daniel, God bless you as you come to take us to the Lord in prayer today.
Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? You know, I'm one of these guys. I had knee surgery, I guess, about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years ago. And my wife, she told me, she said, you ought to get one of those handicap things to put in your window. And I wouldn't do it because I believe that my God will take and touch you, so you don't need those things. Now, I'm not against anybody that's got them. But, you know, I've been going around for a year or so. I've been limping. My legs been bothering me so bad. I went to a foot doctor and he gave me some inserts to put in my shoes. And it seemed like it didn't help me none. I used to sit back there or stand back there at the back and I didn't think I was going to make it during the service. I go out in the parking lot and didn't think I was going to make it up the steps. My leg was hurting so bad. And I just kept praying about it. About 2 or 3 weeks, well, sometime after that, I had Brother Don in the church pray for me. And that's something else. I always believed that one time is all it takes. You don't have to go to the altar 1,000 times to get prayed for the same thing. One time. And I just didn't get no relief. And I couldn't understand what was taking place. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I left my inserts out of my shoe. And I started walking. I noticed, well, my leg didn't bother me none. And, you know, I got to thinking about it. And I thought, well, maybe God done something for me. And, last week I got up on my roof and started putting roofing shingles on. I'll get that out in a minute. But, Brother Joe, you know how that is on my leg. No pain. And you know what? I believe I was healed all the time. I just needed to throw those inserts out. Amen. Praise God. But amen. Amen. God's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a savior. Anything that we have need of today, my God can give it to you. Amen. Let's pray for these needs. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be in this service today. Knowing, God, that about us there's all kinds of problems and troubles, Lord Jesus. But, God, we know that you are an anchor. that your present help in the time of trouble. Heavenly Father, we just appreciate you so much. God, today we come before your throne, bringing our petitions and our requests before you, knowing, God, that you can do whatever we ask. God, we pray for our pastor today. Lord, we know what a struggle it must be to have to preach that funeral today, but I pray, Lord, that you'll be with them. God, that you'll help them. Lord Jesus, we pray for the boys that's gone out on the mission trip, Brother Darrell, Brother David, Brother Daniel, and some of the rest of them. I pray, God, that you'll give them souls for the harvest. God, these other requests, these needs, these petitions, God, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you'll move right now to heal, to save, and to deliver. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those over the internet, in our fellowship hall, wherever they may be, God, I pray that you'll touch them. Lord, we commit this service fully unto your hands today. We pray, God, that you'll be with Brother Terry, that you'll bless the congregation. Help us to be able to receive, Lord Jesus, from your word. God, we commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. All those that are streaming, may God richly bless all those folks as well. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Is that your desire? Let's sing about it this morning. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus and
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We'll let you be seated this morning. Brother Caleb Atkins has a song for us. If he'll come, and we're going to have an acoustic special. I want those brothers to come as well, be getting ready to give us their song, and we'll go right on into the service this morning. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's just sing a little chorus as Brother Caleb gets ready to sing for us this morning. God is so good. Do you believe that with all your heart? How many of you feel like He's been better to you than anybody in the world? What's the rest of you feel like? Has God been good to us, church? So give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. God is so good. Our God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Our God is so
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He's carried me through. And if there's one thing I've learned in my life, it's my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. Every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read His promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. And I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful.
Did you enjoy that? Let's all stand this morning. Brother Harry's going to sing that. I want these brothers to play with him as he sings it. We'll all sing it together as Brother Terry Horn comes to bring us the word.
Don't mess him up. If I sing it there, I'm going to. That's how we do it down here in the Appalachian Mountains right there.
When sings my soul.
Anything any more positive and true could be said. How great is our God. How great is His Word. He's the greatest one that's ever been heard. You know, we're making preparation for an afterlife, a more glorious life. This is only the negative of the positive that we're going to. It's like going to school. One day we'll graduate. One day we're going to graduate from this life and go to what's promised. So in school, we want to do the best we can, because if you don't pass, you fail. But we don't want to fail. Now, he never failed us, so let's try not to fail him. We certainly had a wonderful time last night, and there's no way we could duplicate that service. Neither do we want to duplicate that service. Every service is unique within itself. It has a message, a lesson, an anointing, and each one is different. Every gift is different, and we appreciate that. We're thankful for that. Things that we were taught Wednesday night, Brother Donnie bringing us about the image of God and let us make man our image. Last night, Brother Tim Burdett was teaching us, you know, about the bride's coming of Christ and knowing that, you know, there has been a resurrection in our day, and we have been resurrected out of dead denominational systems and creeds and things and ideas and laws of man into the glorious light. And we have been resurrected, and we need to recognize that we are that resurrection. We have the resurrection within us. Now this morning, I'm going to teach you and tell you and talk to you, admonish you, remind you, learn you, whatever, and make sure that you have that resurrection within us. If you don't, we're going to learn how to get it. So we want to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2, if we could, while you're standing. And I trust that we'll have a wonderful time in service this morning. Well, we've had a lot of rain, had a little snow, and I got a little sunshine. Sunshine always comes after, and I think we're in for a great sunshine when this life is over. Amen. The real Son of God is going to shine. He's shining right now, but we just see in partial reality now, but one day partial reality will become complete reality. Genesis chapter 2, start with verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good. It is not good When God says it's not good, it's not good. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. I'll read you the definition of that in just a few minutes. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name. That's the supreme authority. He named them. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from him made he a woman. That word, actually, the Hebrew word, actually comes, means banal, which actually means to establish your family or to build him a woman. Actually means to build or establish a family. Made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Adam wakes up. He says, now this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. How did he know that? He was asleep. Must have been his first revelation. 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. One flesh. What a beautiful picture. The first family. God's family. The first man. The first lady. A real lady. A perfect lady. A perfect man. Everything was perfect before the fall. Do you realize we're going back to that? Perfection. Untouched, untamed. Unmarred, I should say. Also, I want to read this. We don't have this in the computer, but if you'd like to just, maybe they can pull it up real quick. Ephesians 5:25. Read this real quickly. Ephesians 5:25-33. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Did you hear what I said? I got about six amens out of that. So ought men ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man hath yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. She was showing the parallel here. For this cause, again, for this cause, man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. A few more amens. This is the word of God. Even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, such an array of scriptures. Lord, I'm certainly not sufficient to elaborate on them, but I pray, God, that you will come. You're already here, but you will come upon me and hide me behind the cross. Anoint this vessel. May we say something this morning that will be of great benefit. But Lord, we're, as I said, we're going through this school and we want to graduate. We want to be prepared. We want to learn of our lovely Heavenly Father. We want to gain something that would be pleasing to Him. Lord, the tools that we need in our spiritual life that would be beneficial to please our Father and to overcome the enemy. God, we need those things. Help us, anoint us, grant these things, Lord. We ask for your divine favor for the next few minutes. We ask in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Before I actually announce my title, I want to read four short quotes. We're going to just read them real quickly. These, I'd already sent my notes to the library, and I found these Saturday morning. I just about had a shout and jubilee over this. This is just so good. And these things here, these summarize God's eternal purpose. Period. God's purpose for the earth is summarized. It summarizes what Brother Donnie preached on Wednesday night. Let us make man in our image. It summarizes that just in these four little short quotes. The first one, Smyrnian church age. Watch carefully now and see this. Before there ever was a speck of stardust, before God was God, God's an object of adoration. No one was there to worship him. So he was at that time only potentially God. Now before this, before there was a speck of stardust and he was known only as eternal spirit, before this, the bride was already in his mind. Glory! Before there was any stardust, even an earth, anything, the bride was already in his mind. Yes, she was. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about those thoughts of God? They are eternal. If it was a thought then, it's a thought now, and it's a thought forever, it will be eternal. It was eternal. Wow. Future home. 1964. See, you were made for an eternal purpose. Because you was the manifestation of an attribute that was in God. That thought of you and you and expressed you. What's this? And he made a earth to take you out of. Glory! He made this earth. I'm 16 elements. Where did I come from? I had to come from somewhere. He made an earth to take me out of. He made an earth to take you out of and to make you a human being. And sin come along and perverted his way. You come anyhow. But you was lost in the world and you was lost with the world. And so he come and redeemed you, the express attribute, and also redeems the earth the same way. Glory! Smyrnian church age again. Now let us go another step, but before we do, let us review our first case. First of all, we know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purposed in himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself. Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself. Like unto himself. Like unto himself. I want to nail that down. Like unto himself. God desires to have a bride like unto himself. Not like me, not like you, not like this sinful flesh. Like unto himself. That kind of a character, that kind of a nature, that kind of an individual. Like unto himself. That's God's purpose. This is a summary. I'm reading you a summary of God's purpose. To bring forth a people like unto himself. That would be a word bride. Brother, we're the most privileged people that stand on the face of God's green earth. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. Hallelujah. One more paradox. What's the most important thing in the world? It's God's church. God made the earth. He made it for a purpose. What was that purpose? To take a church out of it, a bride. And that's the most important job in the world. Brother, if that's not a summary, I've never read one. Wow. So he made the earth so he could have a bride. He made the earth so he could make a bride. God's purpose was to have a wife, a bride. It don't take no theologian to figure out if God's purpose was to have a bride and he's declared he would have a bride, then I know what my purpose is to be that bride and be obedient to his will. I know what my purpose is because by deduction I know what his purpose is. And if he declared it and mandated, somebody's going to fulfill it. Somebody's going to be that wife. Somebody's going to be that bride. A people likened to himself, a bride in his own image. Amen. Now, if I should give this a title, I'm going to title this Married or Just Dating. I don't know if they should. Married or Just Dating. Now, that's the big question. We're all going to church. So every one of us here, we're either married to Christ or we're just dating him. One or the other. We're going to find out this morning which category you're in. Now, from the scriptures we read in Genesis 2, let's see if we can get a few observations out of that. First of all, woman was absolutely essential in God's plan. Remember now, we're all the way through this, we're going to type the natural marriage, the spiritual marriage. Natural marriage, spiritual marriage. Woman was absolutely essential in God's plan. God said, it's not good that man should dwell alone. And if God said it's not good, it's not good. Remember all first 5 days, he said, it's good. First day, it's good. Second day, it's good. Third day, it's good. On the sixth day, he said, it's very good when he made man. Then he turns around and says, it's not good. And when God speaks, that's the way it is. Also, we find out God brought forth the birds and the beasts to Adam to name them so Adam could exercise his dominion over them, showing the dominion of the man, his authority. And God put Adam to sleep and took a rib and built him, made him a wife. The literal meaning is to establish a family. And also, we find out Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Adam had a revelation that we're now one. And remember, at that time, before the fall, Eve was co-equal with Adam. Before the fall, she was co-equal with him. And I'll show you why when we get into help me. As one writer said, God made a woman out of the man so intimate that the closest union and the most affectionate attachment should subsist in the matrimonial connection. So that the man should ever consider and treat the woman as a part of himself. No man ever hated his own flesh. And as no one ever hated his own flesh but nourishes it, supports it, so should a man deal with his wife. And on the other hand, the woman should consider that the man was not made for her. A man was not made for her. A woman was made for man, not man for the woman. But that she was made for the man and derived under God her being from him. Therefore, the wife should see that she reverence her husband. Amen. Brother Don, he said here, I think a couple of weeks ago, he made mention about, he talked about these people that, you know, they've got this male dominance idea about the woman. She's just a slave. She's just a doormat. They got to walk 15 feet behind them and everything. Said, you dog. I say the same thing. Well, you dog. That's your queen. God gave you that queen. Treat her like a queen. And queen, you have a king. Not the king, a king. That's your husband. Therefore, a man should leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. So that means now there's a new place to live. Leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife. Two things here. He's going to have a new place of habitation, and he's going to have a new focus on affection. No more necessarily father and mother, although that's still there. But his habitation is going to change, and his affection is going to change. Now he's going to cleave unto his wife. What we have here is a blending of two lives into one. This union is supposed to be indissolvable. It's like when you put sugar into iced tea, once it's dissolved, it's no separating. One man, one woman, life, one lifetime. That's the way I believe it. Let's look at this definition of helpmeet. Tremendous. 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 Helpmeet. A helper fit for him. A helpmate. A help corresponding to him. I.e., a help equal and adequate to himself. One to share man's responsibilities. respond to His nature with understanding and love, and wholeheartedly cooperate with Him in working out the plan of God. A helpmate. A helpmeet. The word helpmeet actually comes from two Hebrew words, ezor, which means to help, and kenegdo, which actually means corresponding to Him. Corresponding to Him. I don't mean to sound dominant, but it's all about Him. It's all about Christ, the head, the man. We're His wife, but it's all about Him. The woman was made for man, not man for the woman. That's why a helpmeet, He needed a helpmeet. He was made first. She was made a helper. The idea of a helpmeet is that one is similar to Adam and supplemental for Adam. It is the counterpart to complete His being. One equal and adequate to Himself and for Himself. Before the fall, she was co-equal. Now tell me where all your ERAs and your women's libs and your woman's suffrage and all this nonsense and iron disposition. Now tell me where that comes from. It comes from the pit of hell. It's a trick of the devil. It's anointing of this age to bring a complete reversal of God's plan and God's role. Only in this generation could there be such spirits as a woman's dominance, and the woman's the head of the house, and the woman runs everything. She controls everything. She says everything. And she owns about everything. It wasn't designed from the beginning. It was not so. Iron dispositions and brassy women and so forth comes from hell. The Bible says a quiet and a meek spirit is a great price in the sight of God. So the purpose of Adam's spouse was a counterpart to complete His being. One equal and adequate to Himself and for Himself. One that was similar to Adam and supplemental for him. One that corresponded to him. Now, my friends, that's the proper purpose of a helpmeet. How many of you don't raise your hands? Brothers, treat your wife like that. Let's go a little farther. With these scriptures, we have the universal law of marriage. Now, God established that. And that's an eternal thought. Now, Melchizedek, we know, had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, no end of life. We know that Melchizedek became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek, of course, you know, he became Jesus Christ. Jesus had both father and mother, but Jesus had no wife. Yet. Upon this introduction, really, I want to preach on this, as I said, marrying or just dating. Now you say, well, are you an expert on the subject? Well, not really. Have you ever been through a divorce? Yeah, one. When I was 12 years old. Let me tell you a little something about divorce. Can I? In the divorce, there's no winners. In a divorce, I've said it before, I'll say it again. One or both parties does not have the Holy Ghost. If there's a divorce, one or both does not have the Holy Ghost. You got two people's got the Holy Ghost? No divorce. Under any circumstances. Whatever the problem is, you'll work them out. Let me tell you something else about divorce. You know, Brother Donnie's been teaching us, you know, about the subconscious and how that all these impressionable years, first 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of your life, train up a child the way he should go, the way he should go, and how that this subconscious, all these images and so forth are impressed in your mind, and the subconscious rules more 95% of your life, the conscious 5% and so forth. Let me tell you something. I was 12 years old when my mom and my mother and my father divorced. I've never told this public, but I'm going to tell it. My mother cheated on my father. She's gone on now. My mother cheated on my father. I was 12 years old. When I found that, I hated her. I hated her. I can't say it strong enough. I hated her. I hated her. This is what it did for me as a 12-year-old. It's a miracle that I've even got married. I hated my mother. I wouldn't talk to her. I wouldn't speak to her. I wouldn't answer the phone. I wouldn't even look at her. I literally hated my mother. I love my dad. I love my mother up to this point. But that's what it did to me as a 12-year-old. I hate her. I can't say it strong enough. I hated her. And for a year, I wouldn't even speak to her. Later, things got okay, got better, the relationship was okay. But until I got saved and born again and got that devil of hatred off of me, I hated her. But I love her now. But I hated her. But I'm going to tell you one thing. She never was happy. The man that she cheated on my father, she finally married 11 years later. She never was happy. I'll tell you, if there's anybody in this situation today, you hear my voice. It don't pay. The only way you'll ever will be happy is to get married to Jesus Christ. You've got to fall in love with the man, Christ Jesus. That's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. Marriage is, it will not, divorce will not pay. Nobody's happy in divorce. You ask her to marry you, why don't you stay with her? You said yes, why don't you love him? Why don't y'all work things out? I guarantee you, if you was on a cruise and a ship wrecked, and this might be a crude illustration, but, and you was the only two survivors, one man, one woman, you might have hated each other on the ship, but there's only two of you alive, you're marooned on an island somewhere, I guarantee you, you're going to be friends. You know why? Because there's only two of you left. And you're not going to, you know, you might not look at her and talk to her for 2 or 3 weeks or whatever like that, but what, finally you're going to get tired and say, hey, we're the only two people alive, we better make this thing work. And I tell you one thing, that what's wrong with our divorce courts today, if divorce was made hard where there was no divorce, people would work things out and they wouldn't separate and get divorced. It's too easy. It's made too easy. There ought to be no divorce. Just sit down and work it out. Like a man asked a woman one time, said, he's been married 70 something years, said, you ever thought about divorce? Said, no, never thought about divorce. Murder once, but not divorce. I've been married to my wife for 39 years. I've been married to God for 39 years. I know a little bit about both marriages. Now, the first question is, we're talking about marriage or just dating. First question, do I really want to get married? Naturally, do I really want to marry Jesus Christ? Do I really want to get married naturally? That's the first big question. You have to answer that question. Before you marry, you must answer that question. Do I really want to marry him or her? Now, first of all, Christ really wants to marry you. Acts 1 and 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. That word passion actually means to suffer. Passion by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, which was Calvary, he endured the cross, despised his shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus wants to marry you. The question is, do you really want to marry him? It's like to marry Christ. It's kind of like buying a house. Do I really want to enter into a permanent contract? Say, well, look at the benefits of having a house. Yes, but what will it cost me? It will cost you. To marry Christ, it will cost you. To marry a wife, it will cost you. To purchase a house, you must count the cost. To marry a wife, you've got to count the cost. To marry a husband, you've got to count the cost. To marry Christ, you've got to count the cost. There is a price to pay for each one of these. Let me just make it real simple. Can I just make it real simple for you? This is what it's going to cost you. I believe that too many people want the benefits of marriage, both naturally and spiritually, but are not willing to pay the price. It's made real simple. If you want to marry Christ, you must forfeit the world. If you don't want to marry Christ, then you can have the world. But if you're going to marry Christ, you got to forfeit the world. To marry the world, you got to forfeit Christ. You can't have both. That's the problem with people today. You can't have both. You got to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Do I want Christ or do I want the world? You cannot be lukewarm and marry Christ. Christ said, I can't stand. I cannot stand a lukewarm man. That's the rebuke in Laodicea. I would that you would be hot. I would you be cold. I can't stand it, lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Get out of my sight. I can't stand you. I can't say that hard enough. I can't stand you if you're lukewarm in this generation. But that's the big decision. Do we want to marry him or do we want the world? Remember, you can't have both. You can't have both. You might as well settle that right now. You can't have both. Tremendous big price to pay. If you're obligated, you are obligated to a man, sisters, you are, if to marry a husband, you're obligated to that man until he dies. That's a big price to pay. You better know what you're doing when you marry that man. He can under certain circumstances, you can't. None, zero, zilch, none, negative. That man's gotta be dead. You're obligated to man. That's a big price to pay. Sister, that's a big price to pay. Amen. He's a lifelong husband, which actually comes from the word house band, which means he's just your security and provider and so forth. Love and security, peace, serenity, a union with the true Son of God. But that's the price to pay. If you want that, you get the benefits also. To marry Christ, another tremendous big price to pay. You're obligated to that man. You marry Christ, you're obligated to it. But you're going to have to pay the price. I'm not talking about paying a price of redemption. I'm talking about paying a price of surrender. You're obligated to that man until you die. And he's a good man, and he'll certainly take care of you all throughout eternity. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Also, for straight is the gate, and there's the way, and few be there that find it." Why did Jesus say that? Tell me why Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, and there's the way, and few be that find it." Tell me why. I'll tell you why. Because very few people are willing to pay the price. They are not willing to pay the supreme price to be married to the Son of God. Why couldn't the rich young ruler inherit eternal life? He wasn't willing to pay the price. He loved the world and the things of the world. Why are people around this message backslide to go back to the world? They're not willing to pay the price. They're acquainted with him. They date him for a while, but they're not willing to marry him. Because to marry him, your first husband must be dead. I mean dead. You're not willing to pay the price. There is a price to pay in being a Christian. And there's a price to be paid to marry Christ. You see, it don't cost you too much to date somebody, but it costs you a whole lot to marry him. Some people have a lot of baggage. God's really not concerned about that. He takes care of all the baggage. All you got to do is just put it on the scales, let him weigh it out. There's too many people around this message just dating Christ. That won't cost you too much, but it'll cost you a whole lot to marry him. You say, well, will Christ date anybody? He'll date anybody. He dated Judas. He'll date anybody. Anybody that asks, he'll date them. But he won't marry Judas. He won't marry Judas. And he won't marry you either. Unless you, you know, the Bible says God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey. God gave Abraham the seal of circumcision at an appointed time when he was, saw that he was ready to receive his faith. He gave him the seal of circumcision. God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey. You know, actually, you should get the Holy Ghost when you're baptized in water, but most people are not willing to surrender and fully commit their lives to God. That's the reason you don't get the Holy Ghost back in the water, because God knows you're not really fully surrendered at that time yet. It might be years down the road when you're fully surrendered. God says, okay, now he's ready to surrender. Now I give him the Holy Ghost. God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey. No wonder the prophet of God said, full obedience to every word of God entitles you to the token. Full obedience to every word entitles you to the token. You see, some people would rather date the Lord rather than marry him. In dating, there's no obligation. You say, well, if I don't want to go out on Friday night, you don't have to. If I don't want to read my Bible, I don't have to. If you date Jesus, you just, certain things you just don't have to do. You just don't have to. If you don't want to pray, you don't have to. If you don't want to pay your tithes, you don't have to. If you don't want to go to church, you don't have to. If you'd rather go to a ball game, that's up to you. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything if you're not married to him. If you're just dating, just do what you want to. But when you're married, it's a different thing. He's now your head. You don't do what you do. You're bought with a price. There's no commitment in dating. No obligation at all. You can go steady and break up and go steady and break up. Do that as many times as you want to in dating. But when you're married, that's it. That's it. It's a lifelong commitment in marriage. Now here's the sticky part. We know we live in 3-room house, kitchen, living room, parlor, or bedroom. Living room or parlor to bedroom. Now in the kitchen, you can have fellowship. When you're dating, you can go in the kitchen for fellowship. When you're married, you can go in the kitchen for fellowship. All church members are in the kitchen. They have fellowship. Most Christians like to go in the kitchen anyway. Christ will meet you in the kitchen. Yes, sir. Anybody. That's the outer court. Any Jew could go in the outer court. But then the next step is the living room or parlor. I'll call it courtship. Fellowship, kitchen, courtship, living room. If you're dating, you can go in the living room. If you're married, you can go in the living room. Christ will meet a church member in the living room. If your name's on the book of life, sure, that's the inner court. Few restrictions apply. Now comes the big problem. The last and most important room is the bedroom. This is where we have to draw the line. This is where Christ draws the line. Fellowship, courtship, relationship. If you're dating, you don't go in the bedroom. Now, I know that's contrary to popular belief in the world and the customs of the day. You don't go to the bedroom. You only go in the bedroom when you're married. Same thing with Christ. Christ will not meet you in the bedroom if you're just dating him. You see, relationship, this is what God wanted all along from the fall. He had relationship with Adam and Eve. Seventh day he rested. That was immediately, it was broken up. That day of rest was marred, put on hold, if you will. That relationship he had with Adam and Eve, it's going to be completed. We're almost at that point yet. Relationship. Ever since the fall, that's what God desired. He was going to take a bride, Israel. They committed adultery, divorced them, put them away. He was going to take a bride at Pentecost. They fell back into idolatry, fell at Nicaea, put her away. But he said, I will have a bride. I will restore all the years that the palm worm and the cankerworm and the locust and the caterpillar. I will restore all things. I will have a bride. He's declared to have a bride. He's going to have a bride. He does have a bride. And some of you are part of that bride. But some of you are still dating. Before the fall, Adam and Eve was perfect oneness with God. For 6,000 years, God is anticipating this relationship with his bride. Remember Genesis 2:18, God said, it's not good that man should dwell alone. That's an eternal thought. Now remember, friends, this has been God's purpose ever since the fall, to restore relationship, to restore that oneness. Why do you think God preached, or Brother Brown preached messages, the mighty God unveiled, the unveiling of God? Christ was being unveiled before his bride. I'm talking about a virgin bride. And he won't unveil himself before a whore or a prostitute or an ill-famed denominational. He's got a virgin bride. Therefore, he is and has unveiled himself before her. This is the hour of the unveiling of God. But I want to show you something real interesting in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 and 3. Talking about that scripture that talks about leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. See, I want you to understand what Brother Ram taught about this. And it ties in exactly about going into relationship. Relationship. That's what it's all about now is relationship. Therefore, Hebrews 6, 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptism and the laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now, listen to what Brother Bam says in the Hebrews series here, paragraph 535. Now, then last Sunday we've taken leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ in the sixth chapter we read it. Read this, let us go into perfection. And we found out that the people today in many churches, along with this is where a lot of people around the message are today, talking about fussing and carrying on and arguing about doctrine and fussing about points. Many people in the churches today, along with the Branham Tabernacle and different ones, we lay too much on studying about principles of Christ. He was the son of Abraham. He was the son of so-and-so and back on in genealogies. But the Bible says, lay aside those things and go on to perfection. Maybe we don't fully understand this, Hebrews 6, 1, 2, and 3. Lay aside these things and go on to perfection. First, you must know the doctrine. We know the doctrine. Then you must know all these things. Then lay them aside.
And he said of the resurrection of dead and laying on of hands and baptisms and all these dead articles of God. Yet they have no life in them. But listen to what he says. But the church today goes on to those things. Oh, we believe in the deity Christ. Yes, sure. We believe in water baptism. Yes, sure. Laying on of hands. Paul said, we'll do all this if God permits. But in the face of all that, let's lay it aside now and go on to perfection. Why do you think Brother Donnie's been talking about think right? Think on whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are good report. Think on these things. Get your thinking right. Get your thoughts right. Get your attitude right. We know about baptism and doctrines and pools and seals and thunders. We know about that stuff. Well, what about can you live it? Can you act it? Can you live a life worthy of the gospel? You want to have the resurrection, you want to be the resurrection, then you got to get the resurrector inside of you. And the only way you're going to do that, you got to obey the word of God. God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey. Live right, think right, do right. He says also, paragraph 538, now the church cannot be perfected through organizations. It gets further away from God all the time, or farther away from each other. We draw barriers. We separate ourselves, seemingly not having the faith. But then when we leave those principles of doctrine and we move on to perfection, then those little things become of not much use. We go into a relationship. We go into relationship. That's the most important thing, relationship. Brother, once you're married to Christ, everything else is dead. Absolutely dead. We go into relationship. We find out that the only way we can be perfected is to be in Christ. It's right there, brothers. Well, why we fuss and carry on and debate and argue and this doctrine, and that doctrine, and this doctrine, and that doctrine? That's like somebody said to Brother, we'll never get this perfection until we get all the Greek lined up. He said, nonsense. They've been fussing over the Greek for 2,000 years. What about relationship? Brother, when you marry Christ, it's finished. That takes care of everything. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Greatest force on earth is love. Yes, sir. Be perfected in Christ. Notice what he says. Then we find out by the teaching of the Bible and how we get into Christ, not by water baptism, not laying on hands, not by teaching, but one spirit will baptize in one body and become perfected through his suffering. Then we look different. We think different. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, what things are good report, think on these things. Think positive. I am redeemed. I am justified. I am a child of God. All these positive affirmations, think on these things. Amen. When you go into a relationship, you think different. What do I care if Florida beat UT? I could care less if they don't all get right. They're all going to hell. See, I don't like that. That's too bad. My focus is Christ. My love is Christ. My passion is Christ. You say, well, that's just for preachers. That's for everybody. That's not just for preachers. That's for everybody. A preacher's a preacher. I've got to have the same experience that you've got to have. We all make it in together. It's all level at the foot of the cross. We act different. We live different. Not because it's our duty or we belong to church, but because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It makes us fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen. Another quote. Christians, oh, you must have a personal relationship to God in order to be a son of God. You must become relation to God. He must be your father in order for you to be a son. And only his sons and daughters are saved. And not the members of a church, but sons and daughters. There's only one thing that produces that. That's the new birth. The new birth is the only thing that will produce relationship. Brother J.D., it only takes a new birth. You must be born again. You've got to be born again. You must receive the token. Remember I said earlier, a woman is absolutely essential in God's plan. Here's why. Restoration of Bride Treat, one of the most beautiful quotes ever been printed out. But watch, he, Christ, was God's perfect prophet tree, the example tree, the bridegroom tree. Remember, woman is absolutely essential in God's plan. Glory, I'm going to say something. If he, Christ, is the bridegroom tree, you believe it, from the Garden of Eden, then the bridegroom tree without the female don't bear fruit. So he's got to have a bride tree. He's got to have a bride tree. He without the bride tree cannot bear fruit. The bridegroom tree without the bride tree cannot bear fruit. He has to have a wife. It's not good that man should dwell alone. It's not good that God should dwell alone. It's not good that man should dwell alone. He must have a mate. Christ was to have a mate. The bridegroom tree must have a bride. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You are absolutely essential to God. He's got to have a bride tree. She's got to be born of the same material. The Word made flesh from the tree. I hope you get it. 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 See, the same life is this female tree. The same life is this female tree. We're the bride. What did he say about the token? What is the token? What is the token? The token is the literal life of Jesus Christ. You must have the token. The bride, the same life is the female tree, the bridegroom as it is the bride. The works that I do, you do also. For 6,000 years, God is anticipating this relationship and this oneness. Amen. Behind the veil in the holies of holies, this union, this is an invisible union. Christ and his bride, the Word being made flesh. Oh, God, how I love you. You know where the heart of God is? I'll tell you where the heart of God is. Uncertain sound. He says, it's about 1,000 years there, and there was nothing but a stump. But you cannot, because the life in the tree predestinated to bring up a tree. Up come Luther, started growing. What did it organize? The husband pruned the branches. Come up the Methodists. What did it organize? Just like the mother, pruned the branches. Come on up in the Pentecost. It's done the same thing, organized. God pruned the branches. Watch. But that life, the life in the heart of the tree has to live. God said, I will restore for the Evilites to ripen. Listen, in the middle of the tree stands the heart of God. In the middle of the tree stands the heart of God. That's the bride tree. You want to know where the heart of God is? In the bride tree. He's the bridegroom tree. We're the bride tree. Amen. That's where the heart of God is. You think you've got problems? You ain't got no problems. If God's for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Not enough devils and imps and wimps and dimps and whatever more. There's nobody can separate me from the love of God. When you got the token, you're there. You're sealed in. The main thing is, make sure you got it. Check up this morning. Are you dating Christ? Or are you married to him? Say, I've been in the message 30 years. I don't care if you've been in the message 50 years. I don't care if you was raised in the message. I don't even care what you... It doesn't matter. We're all, it's all level at the foot of the cross. Except you be born again, you'll know why I see the kingdom of God. Every man's got to come the same way. Every man's got to come the same way. But that's where, in the middle of the tree, stands the heart of God. That's the bride tree to meet the bridegroom tree. Just like it was in the Garden of Eden originally. The two trees of life. Listen, I don't think we really realize tremendous honor is to be called out in the end time to be his bride. Do we really appreciate it? Do we really understand it, comprehend it? It's the greatest privilege on the face of the earth to be called his bride. Do we realize it? Well, I really don't think it's hit us yet. Partial reality just has not become complete reality, but God help us, we're getting closer. Christ is the Word that he wants a bride that will be his Word. And he is the Word. He wants us to be that Word. And it can only come in the evening time. Now remember, why was Adam given a bride? Remember what I said about help meet? A helper fit for him. A help corresponding to him. A help equal and adequate to himself. One, to share man's responsibilities and respond to his nature with understanding and love, and wholeheartedly cooperate with him in working out the plan of God. Why can't husbands and wives pull together? You know what Martin Luther said one time? He said, make the home so happy that he will love to come home and she will hate to see him leave. You know, that's simple, but that's just absolutely astounding. Make the home so happy that he will love to come home and she will hate to see him leave. That settles it, don't it? I mean, that's it. That's the summary of a happy home. I can't wait to see her, and she just hates to see me leave. Brother, if you got that kind of relation, you're a millionaire. You're a billionaire. You can't buy that with money. Oh, brother, sister, listen. This is why Adam was given a wife. We'll hurry. Why really was Adam given a bride? The first spoken, why was Adam given a bride? Why was Christ given a bride? Here's the answer. Spoken words, original seed. The first son was spoken seed, word of God. He was given a bride. I'm just reviewing the spirit. I was picking up what I said. A bride to produce himself. Did you hear what I said? He was given a wife, a bride to produce himself. Why? Well, I just read you the definition of a helpmate. It's not good that man shall dwell alone. God gave him a helpmate. Why? Why did he give him a helpmate? One to correspond to him. A help equal and adequate to himself. To share his responsibility. Respond to his nature. With understanding and love and wholeheartedly cooperate with him and work him out the plan of God. The bride to produce himself. She fell. That's what the bride was given. To produce himself again, another son of God. That's why Adam was given a bride, to produce himself again over in progeny. Christ was given a bride to reproduce himself. That's why we must be like Christ. He wanted a bride that would be like him. We read it in those first four quotes at the beginning. Produce himself, but she fell, caused him to die. Listen, the second son, the spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like Adam. But before he could marry her, remember she fell at Nicaea, before he could marry her, she had fallen also. For she was to put to a free mortal agency like Adam's life was, to believe God's word and live and doubt and died. And she did. She died. But he said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Joe, he said, I'm going to have a bride. I'm going to have one in the Laodicean age. I'm going to have one that's not going to fail. Listen, Eve in a perfect garden, in the Garden of Eden, was commanded to keep just one word. Don't you eat of that tree. And she fell. But God's got a bride, and Satan's even going to keep every word of God, and she's not going to fall. Glory, if that ain't a paradox, I ain't never seen one. She won't fail. Amen. That's why this message is so timely and is so important. Christ must have a virgin bride to reproduce himself. Ever since the fall, God has desired oneness with a virgin wife. And she is declared virgin because she has accepted him, baptized in his name, believed the pure word. That word has purified her, and she becomes the pure. We'll read a little bit later. He says in the token Jeffersonville, it has to be because a woman and her husband become one. They become one. And so does the bride and Christ become one. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. The ministry of bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. I didn't say the ministry of Brother Branham. I said the ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. He come to marry a wife, a many-member bride. Oh, brother. It's glorious. I just love him, don't you? I've got several things here. I'm going to skip just a little bit of this. I won't take time to read it, but we'll just skip this. But if you go back and when Brother Bram talks about when he had that preview of the bride and he saw the early church coming over the curvature of the earth and how beautiful she was, you know, then he saw the second one. Then he saw the bride, of course, was a preview a second time, but he saw the bride of America. That you know, when you think about that, God was giving him a vision of the condition of the bride of America. Said that was the filthiest, dirtiest looking thing I've ever seen. That's what denominational unbelief, that's how God looks at it. God gave the prophet that vision to show us and tell us truthfully in the mind of God how God viewed the denominational systems once the true word of God had been given. Once the truth has been given, that's why the indictment had to be preached. That's why souls in prison had to be preached. He said, I'm finished with them. Yeah, there'll be some caught out here and there. There'll be some that have been given eternal life. But as far as categorically, I'm finished with them. Done with them. But in that, he said, Miss USA. He said that was the filthiest looking thing I'd ever seen. Twisting like this, gray looking, hula skirts and so forth, lower parts, vulgar. That's Miss Christianity of America. God ain't marrying that. Christ won't marry that. That's why she had to preview a second time. And I saw her coming over the curvature of the earth, you know, into the tune of Onward Christian Soldiers, marching to the tune of this wonderful gospel, correctly dressed, correctly walking, hair hanging down low, beautiful dress, everything right. Listen, that cousin in the armor outfit story, once she was engaged to the big boss's son, all year long she made herself ready for the wedding. That's what she desired. Make myself ready for the wedding. I want to marry him. I want to marry him. I don't care about the cousins. I don't care about their frills and frocks and all their parties out on the dude ranch. I don't care about none of that. I got one desire. That's to marry the bridegroom. I got one desire. I want the big boss's son. Will you marry me? She said, me? Me? Well, I'm not worthy. I find in you a character that I don't find in them denominational cousins up there. I find in you a character I don't find anywhere else. Will you marry me? Well, sure. Okay. From then on, she made herself ready for the rest of the year. She saved her nickels and everything. She made herself ready. Listen, you're not married to Christ unless you are born again. Did you hear what I said? You are not married to Christ until you are born again. When I mean born again, I'm talking about converted, received the token, passed from death into life. Jesus told Peter, after you converted, then strengthen the brethren. Before Pentecost, Peter was not converted. He lied. He denied the Lord. He cursed and swore. But after Pentecost, he was a different man. Why? Because he got born again. He got converted. He got changed. And after you're converted, you're changed. Completely changed. Your whole life now is on Christ. You're not married until you're born again. So if you're not born again and you're just dating, you're not married to Christ. Or maybe you're still married to the world and you just think you're married to Christ. Therefore, your so-called marriage is unlawful. It's not lawful. Let me read you this little part of a wedding ceremony. God's not going to marry someone who's married already. Did you hear that? God won't marry somebody that's already married. He don't believe in double marriages. Reading the wedding ceremony, I will require and charge you both, and you will surely answer at the day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either you or any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together in this matrimony, do you now confess it, or be it assured unto you that any couple that are joined otherwise than God's word doth allow, their marriage is not lawful. That's the same with God. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. One husband, chaste. The word chaste means clean, immaculate, pure, modest, sacred. I can show you an impediment why some of these people are not lawfully married to Christ. You want me to tell you why? I'll read it to you. Invisible union. He said, now it was nature associated with death. This is why some people are not lawfully married. They think they're married, but they're just dating him. It's nature associated with death. Your first husband that had rule over you was your nature by natural birth. Natural. You love the world because you are the world and part of the world. That's right. Your desires was by nature to love the world, which is a part of you. You're a part of. You're a part of a nature. You believe that, and that's your natural thing. That's the reason you have to be born again. You have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. You can't live with it. You can say, well, I'll divorce him and hang him up till the occasion. No, sir. No writing of divorce, but he dies. The nature of the world has to die. Every speck of him dies. You must be reunited again with another nature. That's the reason I can show impediment why some of you are not lawfully married to him, because your first nature has not died.
Amen.
You say, how do you know? Well, what kind of life do you live?
Right.
You come to church all the time.
Right.
You come to church as much as I do. Jesus said, you know them by the fruit they bear.
Amen.
Every tree is known by its fruit.
Right.
People, listen. They don't need to fool around. You might fool your husband. You might fool your wife. You might fool Brother Don. You might fool a lot of people. You won't fool him. Say, well, I'm ashamed. I've been in message 20 years. I'd hate to come up and say I need to get saved or born again. If you're going to be ashamed, if you're ashamed now, you'll go to hell. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed before you. And the Holy, you know the scripture. Don't put it off. This is sobering. The biggest impediment, that your first nature is not dead. The Bible says God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey. Obey what? Obey this principle that your first nature must die. Here's a good way to check to see whether you are with Christ. Let me read the rest of this obligation in this covenant. Will you have this man to be your lawful? You're talking about marrying Christ. This is it, brother. Sister. Will you have this man to be your lawful wedded husband? To live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, cherish, in sickness and in health, and God don't get sick now, in sickness and health, and forsake all others, and cleave thee only unto him as long as you both shall live? The bride answers, I will. I will. I will. I will. I'll love and I'll honor and I'll cherish and I'll forsake all others. That's the biggest one. Are you willing to forsake all others? You must forsake all others to be married to Christ. Do you promise to get the Holy Ghost? You have to promise to love God, to honor God, to cherish God, to forsake all others, to cleave only to Him. Listen, I'm talking about a covenant. I'm talking about a long-lasting relationship. I'm talking about an eternal relationship. I'm talking about forsaking the world. I'm talking about being married to Christ. Listen to me, young people. Listen to what I got to tell you. You say, well, I've got plenty of time. I can, when I get 20 or 25, I'll get saved when I get 25. You may not live to be 25. The rapture may take place this year or next year. There's going to be people that are 8-year-old, 9, 10, 14, 15 when the rapture takes place. What are you going to do then? Don't wait till then, brother, sister. You'll be caught and it'll be too late. Well, Brother Jewel, I'm going to find a place to parachute out. Listen, brother, sister, if Christ is not your passion, then you're not born again. That's the only way I know to tell him. If Christ is not your passion, you say, oh, that's just for preachers. Nonsense. That's for everybody. This word is for you. This Bible is for you. The message is for you. The tapes is for you. This pulpit is for you. The ministry is for you. It's all for the perfecting of the saints, getting us ready for the bridegroom. Not just the preachers are enthused. It's the bride's enthused too. Brother Bam said, never lose the enthusiasm for the coming of the Lord. If your passion is not Christ, I'm going to tell you flat. You say, this is mighty strong, brother. It is mighty strong. If your passion is not Christ, you're not born again. Your passion must be Christ. Am I telling you the truth? You believe? How many believes that? I believe it. Well, that wasn't 100%, but most of you believe it. I believe it. Your passion must be Christ. We're not talking about just going to heaven. We're not talking about just going to heaven. We are talking about the elected, selected, elite bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is God's chosen before the foundation of the world. She will be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and life of his life. She is him. And if she is going to be designated to be him, she's going to love him and cherish him, and he will be her passion.
Amen.
Let me just hurry through this, you know, just to close a minute. You know, the Bible says, come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. 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 Ever thought of what that really means? I'll give you rest. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. What is our Sabbath? The Holy Ghost, which is rest. What were the king and queen and the earth doing the seventh, the 1,000th year of the millennium? Resting. You know one real purpose of a natural marriage? Is rest. I prove it to you in the book of Ruth. Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Come on, what do you think she's trying to get her lined up for? Let's read another one. Ruth 3:18. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. The man will not be in rest. He will not be in rest until he marries you. Why do you think Christ is not going to be in rest until he gets his wife, his bride? A man cannot really rest until he has a proper wife. The word rest literally means, the word rest until, and then, let me read it again. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest. That word rest literally means to be tranquil, to be at peace. You're supposed to be in peace after you get married. After you get married, you're supposed to be in peace. You're supposed to be in peace after you get married. Not fussing and war. It ain't another Vietnam. It's supposed to be peace, tranquility, bliss. You know what bliss is? Not blistering, bliss. That's what a good natural marriage will produce. Rest. A good natural marriage will produce rest. A good spiritual marriage will produce rest. That's what it's all about. Well, I just got to do it. I got two types of love letters. Natural, spiritual. These are natural love letters, spiritual love letters. These love letters were written 40 years ago. This love letter was written 48 years ago. These love letters are filial love for my wife. These love letters are agape love for my father. My husband. These love letters I sent my wife to encourage her. These love letters God sent me to encourage me. I'm his wife. These love letters were sent for tell the secrets. I'd tell my wife. I wrote to her when I was overseas when I was in the military, Brother Frank. This to encourage her. I wrote her these love letters. He wrote me these love letters to encourage me. Until we meet again. I was away from her for 90 days until we meet again. He wrote me love letters to encourage me. Until we meet again. I was with him before the foundation of the world, but he wrote me some love letters to encourage me until we meet again. These love letters right here, they won't fail. I hope. I believe. We've been married 39 years. These love letters here, I know they won't fail. These love letters right here, actually this is everything. This is a promise. This is my promise to her. This surely is his promise to me. You believe that? I believe that. You've read out of these. Would you like to hear something out of this? No? How many yes or no? Yes? Six people? How many don't want to hear nothing? My wife. What if I just pull one out at random?
Somebody wants to hear it. Uh-oh. I'm going to close right after this. I have a lovely wife. I have a lovely marriage. As I said, it's a miracle I've even married. You see what happened? I didn't really finish. When I told you I hated my mother, I did. But actually, sometimes with scarred human beings, it has a devastating effect. Actually, it had the opposite effect with me. I love her more than any man could love a woman, as much as anybody's ever loved a wife. That's how much I love my wife. It had the opposite effect to me, what my mother did to my father. But that's an unusual case. Most of the time, it scars people really bad. I want to read you just a little bit, if you don't mind. You don't have to listen, Alice. Remember, it's natural marriage. It's a spiritual marriage. They better be the same. This is while we were dating, because my title was Married or Just Dating. I'm going to read just a couple of excerpts. They're just taken at random. Well, not exactly, but I did censor them. It won't be but just a couple of minutes. This is while we're dating, October 1973. I was in England. We just met 2 or 3 months. Said, I've done much thinking while flying, and I said in my last letter, my feelings are growing. We will just have to see how things work out. I think by now, Alice, you do in fact take my word for truth, because it is the truth. We have learned each other's motives and feelings somewhat, of course. I have the utmost respect for you and what you believe in. Your whole personality is encompassed around the way you have been brought up, and that's by God, which is the only way. That is the one reason I do, in fact, feel for you the way that I do. I'm just dating her still. One thing is, in fact, that I have vowed to hold and to live by, and that is, when I do decide to marry the woman I marry, my life will be centered around her happiness, and that is my goal. On the lighter side of things, Smitty, which was my best buddy, is very much talkative of the good things that he sees in you. He thinks you are very sweet and would make a fine wife for me. What can I say? Now, that's not all. I'm going to read you a little excerpt after we got married. I was overseas. We got married, and I went back overseas for 90 days to my wonderful wife. Alice, how can two people love each other so much? I know you feel it also. Why? Why has God chosen us to be the gracious receivers of this tremendous love? Thank you, Lord. Honey, I can't even say it enough. The Lord has brought us together, and there's no doubt about that. He wanted me to be back in His arms, so He sent me you, and He wanted you to stay strong and have a God-fearing husband. That's the reason He sent me. The Lord has the prayers of those who truly believe. Here's the prayers. I finally had a down day, sweetheart, and I made it to church. I felt so good being in the Lord's house. This was in England. I felt so close and went up to the front to kneel and receive the Lord's Supper. I really love Jesus. Honey, my life is so wonderful now that I have you and that I have Jesus. What more could a person long for? I have love from the most wonderful woman alive, and I have love from the strength from God the Father. Now, I want to read you just an excerpt out of his love letter. Invisible Union. You stand completely. You never sinned in the first place. God don't even know. It's in the sea of His forgiveness. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser. But really, from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son of God. You are standing there washed. Your old book of divorcement is put away and dead. Absolutely out of existence, even the mind of God. You are the virtuous bride of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous, sinless Son of God, standing with the pure, unadulterated word that He washed by the water of His own blood. Notice, you're not only that, but you're going to a wedding in the sky. And you're wearing the wedding band of predestinated, unmerited grace, a wedding band of grace,
unmerited of your own. God did it himself. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He slipped the wedding band on you there. Put your name on a book. What a thanksgiving. Hallelujah. 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 Are we married to Christ? Or are we just dating him? Brother Ben said here, let's just stand. Well, just wait a minute. Don't stand here. Let me read this. And he says, and when you try to say, Lord, I love you, and you're doing the things of the world, God says you're a liar. So why? What's the use of accepting old halfway experience or something other like that when the skies of the heaven are full of the real thing? Why do you want to be a miserable, professed, halfway, half-baked, so-called Christian when you can be a real born-again child of God with the joy bells of heaven ringing in your heart, rejoicing and praising God and living life of victory through Jesus Christ? Let's say it now. Glory! How great is our God? How great is His Word? He's the greatest one that ever has been heard, ever been told. Won't you listen to this little song? Sister Dale Smith sang this song. She was here with Dale Smith 4 or 5 months ago. It's a song about Hosea. I've come to take you home. Listen to this.
Go plead with your mother. Were the words of Hosea as he sent his children to extend his mercy. So they journeyed down the old path that led to much destruction. All the while their loving hearts were hurting. Their hopes were crushed inside as their compassion was denied. The woman they so loved seemed like a stranger. Heartbroken and alone, they took the long way back home. For sin now reigned and hope seemed gone to change her. One day the word was told, some slaves were being sold. A restless love sent Hosea seeking. One by one they brought them in, so beaten down within. But in his chest, his anxious heart was beating. All at once she caught his eye. From his lips the bids were high. She could not believe the voice that she was hearing. Would he in judgment take her life, forever end his pain and strife? What would happen as she saw him drawing near her? Come to take you home. I know that you've done wrong, but for you I gave my life. Through the sorrow, pain, and strife, I could never let you go. Let's leave the past behind. Love conquers one more time. He took her hand and said, there's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you home. Well, I've stood in that same place, bound by sin, a broken slave. From the depths of my despair, I prayed for mercy. I heard his word, he paid the price. On the cross he gave his life. He took my hand and said, now child, you're in the family. I've come to take you home. I know that you've done wrong, but for you I gave my life. Through the sorrow, pain, and strife, I could never let you go. Let's leave the past behind. Love conquers one more time. He took my hand and said, there's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you home. There's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you home.
And think about that was me. Condemned, bids were high. Said, I can't let you go. He came looking for me. It's all Christ. It's Christ alone. Brother Harry's going to sing that song. In fact, we're going to have a baptismal service if the brothers would come and go ahead and be making ready for that while we sing. Brother Harry's going to sing this song. I want you to think about something. Evaluate your life. Am I really married to Christ? Or am I just dating him? If you'd like to come up here, I don't care. I don't care if 50 of you come. You can stay there in your seat. If you want to have prayer, I'll be glad to pray for you. Make your calling and election sure right before the baptism. Brother Harry, sing.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I've overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand. Those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory may be said of me, a source of strength.
baptized before, and we talked, man, Brother J and D and I talked to her before church, but she felt like that she didn't really understand all about water baptism. It is a requirement in your Christian life. We know that. And so she has felt like she's rededicated her life, which we all should do every day. And so she felt like that for her, it would be good that she just be rebaptized. So she has asked for that, and so we're going to do that today. And I pray that that will satisfy her, because that's the one, she's the one that needs that satisfaction that everything's all right. So let's just bow our heads. Father, we come this morning, Father, today. We ask, God, that you'll be with us today. Father, it's one of your commandments. It's one of the three things that we know is required of us, Father, is water baptism. Father, our sister's come. She's felt like, Lord, just renewing her life, her water baptism again, Father. So we just ask that you will meet the need of her heart and life today, God. May she go from here, Lord, and may she be have a conscience that's clear, that she will say, Lord, that I've done all that I know to do, and I'm ready, Lord, to go and to fulfill, Lord, my life here in this earth today, God. We just pray that you'll be with her, that you'll bless her, God, that you'll put your hand upon her, Father, that she will be dedicated to you, God, in a greater way. Every one of us to be dedicated, Lord, every day. May we lay everything aside, Lord. Brother Terry's talking this morning, God. Lord, you are our life. You are our life, God. You're the only thing that, Lord, I live for is you, Father. So we thank you today for that. So we just pray now that you'll meet that need, Father. We ask, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Sister Sean, upon your confession and what you want to be done, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's just worship. We're going to sing another little song. Be dismissed here in just a few minutes while they're changing back there. He came looking for you. God seeks man. Man don't seek God. You don't. No man initially seeks God, because that's contrary to the Scripture. Now, after you're born again, you seek more of God. But God seeks man. You believe that? So that means that song that Harry's going to sing is true. He came looking for me. He came looking for you. Worship with
him. One night while on life's raging sea, looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the darkness and night closed on the light, my heart sank with me. My desperate cry rang out with pride.
Oh! give Him everything that we have. He carried me. He lived. He delivered me when I couldn't carry myself. When I was broke down, He delivered me. When I was sick, He healed me. When I was lost, He saved me. When I was discouraged, He lifted me up. When I was broken, He molded the pieces back together. He's the closest friend I have. Why shouldn't I love Him? Why shouldn't I give my whole life for Him? He gave His life for me. He literally gave His life for me. You know, when somebody gives their life or saves your life, that becomes your best friend. You remember the story I told you about Paul Brown? Paul Brown was a door gunner in Vietnam. Door gunner. It was 30 miles into Cambodia. They shot down his helicopter. True story. Shot down his helicopter. The pilot was killed. Co-pilot was, legs were broken. Paul was my friend. We worked at the post office together. Paul was a rough kind of guy. He wasn't afraid of nothing. The co-pilot's legs was broken. Paul was not hurt at all. He, of course, being shot down, they knew his location. He had just a few minutes to get him hid in the bushes. He dragged him in the bushes, got him to a safe place, put some stents on his legs. And for 31 days, Paul carried that co-pilot on his back 30 miles in Cambodia into the Vietnam border and saved that co-pilot's life. That's not half the story. During that time, Paul killed 17 men, enemy, not with his Army Issue 45, but with a knife or a club, and saved his friend's life. They become best friends. He saved his life. If somebody saves your life, you owe everything to them. God saved your life. You owe everything to Him. You owe everything to Him. God didn't just slay 17 devils. God slayed every one of them. Thousands times thousands times thousands He's done already slayed for you and carried you into glory. Why shouldn't you love Him? God bless you as you're dismissed. Harry, sing another verse of that. Have a good day. Lord bless you. I trust you got something to the Lord. Let's give Him a good hand. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. God bless you.
Looked as if I would suffer defeat. As long as sunlight closed on my mind, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out the cry. All I could see was no hope inside. Faith all but gone, I left the one who looking. Thank you.